Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Meanwhile, trapped underneath the debris of the old mansion, Ike, you can feel that your clothes are snagged on something.
Is it my belt or something? Or
Yeah. It's your belt, or maybe it's a bit of fabric on your shirt. You think it's probably your belt, though.
Can I look and see what it is to confirm what it is?
You, like, swivel around, and you can feel you could probably go deeper and pull yourself off it. Ooh. But to go backwards, you think might be difficult.
Ike wants to pull himself off, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, some alone time.
You can't really see what's snagged you, not properly. Would you like to give it another go?
No, I'm going to try to pull myself through a bit more.
Yeah, no worries.
That's what a brave boy would do, which is what Ike is, and I am not. This whole thing is giving me just hives.
You shift yourself deeper in. Instead of heading back to that kind of crushed part of the chateau, you pull yourself deeper in and you kind of find yourself in what was clearly once a hallway of some kind. You can tell it's just a concrete floor and stone walls, but you kind of pull yourself out of this crushed part of the chateau. You know, I said it's kind of like it's leaning forward. Well, you're kind of in the area that's unaffected by that.
Oh, so I can stand up again.
Yeah, you can kind of shift yourself out and stand.
Wonderful. Even though I know he's not going to respond because I yelled out to him earlier and he didn't respond, I'm going to yell out to Mikhail again. Big guy, I've come through. Not that you give a shit, but I'm in some kind of hallway. I'm going to see if I can find a way back to the main part of the house. Fuck you too, I guess.
Yeah, you receive no response. You feel like you're a little bit lost in this part of the chateau. It's kind of hard to tell where you are specifically because the front of it is so crushed and dilapidated that you can't really orient where you are.
Are there any doors or anything nearby?
Well, there's probably certainly doorways. The actual doors are probably long gone, but there are doors.
Any windows?
You probably step through one, step into a room, and you can see that there is a large kind of, it's destroyed at this point and open to the elements, but there is a window out to the overgrown backyard.
Okay, so
back lawn.
Using that, I'm like, maybe I'm in the back of the house, but I don't really know.
Yeah, that's a reasonable assumption.
Cool. I'm going to walk down the corridor and sort of stick my head in the first doorway. Anything on the walls?
No, it's just stone. You stick your head through doorways here and you can see a lot of just like empty square rooms. You think that, again, maybe something was in these once, but the place is so long abandoned that mostly it's just an empty shell, really, at this point. But eventually you find your way into the other part of the house. So, like, you were on one side, but you found yourself by moving through the back to the other, the kind of right wing, as it were.
Cool. Oh, I love the right wing.
Yeah, I know.
Ike's an American in the 60s. He's all about that right wing.
Oh, yeah. Talk about right wing. True.
Yeah, so, all right. I've come through the corridor. Have I come into any other rooms with any furniture or anything?
Nothing really. It's pretty gutted, the whole mansion. Certainly down here, yeah.
I just keep wandering along until I find something of interest, I suppose.
You enter the right wing. You can see probably in this part of the building it's the side of the building that the tower is on. Yep. And as you move through the right wing and back to the front of the chateau, you can see an archway, which whereas the rest led into sort of square rooms or these kind of like very obviously part of the chateau rooms, this leads into something more circular and a little bit more unique. It leads into what you can reason is the tower that you saw from the outside.
Oh, so there's an internal entry point to the tower as well.
Mm.
Is there anything else? It's just the tower?
Yeah, it's just the tower. You can see the wooden stairs kind of leading up above you. They're quite rotted away and dilapidated. It's actually a miracle that so many of them are still here. You don't know, maybe they were put in more recently than the tower itself was built. It's unclear.
And can I make my way from here back to where we came in?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to basically just be like, cool, I'm just going to sort of wander back to the front, see if there's anything else, and then if I don't find anything else or run into Mikhail, I'm going to turn around and head back to the tower.
As you leave the tower, as you turn around, you're walking through the archway to exit, you hear a voice behind you. It whispers, which you know is French for underground.
I turn back to the source of the voice. Nothing?
Nothing.
Are you trying to help or are you trying to hurt?
The cemetery.
That's from behind you.
You're trying to help. This is going to sound really dumb. Do I get a vibe whether this voice is helpful or hindering?
You don't know. You're not sure. If this is a ghost, if this is a haunting, it's too little to go on already. Like, normally if you're investigating a haunting, you might spend a night. You know what I mean? Yeah. You might pull out a Ouija board. You might do a whole bunch of different things. But really, in this situation, you're just hearing a voice. You can tell it's probably not a poltergeist because nothing's gotten thrown around. But you just don't really know whether this is a malevolent or a benevolent presence.
I want to call out to it, and I want to try two things.
Definitely sounds like, if this helps, it sounds like a male voice.
Yep.
And it sounds like a kind of older male voice as well.
First of all, I'm going to call it Jacques the Cad.
Mm-hmm.
Anything?
No. You say, you know, Jacques, is that you, Jacques the Cad? There, no response. Just the stillness of the chateau.
All right. Your Majesty.
You hear quite almost like semi-aggressively.
Cimetière. Mon épée en gloire.
You feel something push you.
What does that say in French?
My sword and acorn.
Le chien ma tombe.
My dog, the tomb.
Okay. Your sword and your acorn are in the tomb of the dog in the cemetery. Is that right, Your Majesty?
Once again, you just received the stillness of the chateau.
Okay, I immediately ignore the tower. Big guy, we gotta go. We gotta get to the cemetery. I look back around to the front of the house that we came in, and I'm calling out for Mikhail.
There is no response.
Big guy, now is not the time for your KGB bullshit. We gotta go. Work together. Partners, etc., etc. It's your cowboy. Is there any sign of Mikhail?
No, there's no sign of Mikhail whatsoever.
I go out.
Maybe, well, if you go back outside, you might see footprints, to be honest.
Are they Mikhail's?
Yeah, oh, I mean, it's hard to tell, really.
The Mikhail
I mean,
or
to
some
be
sort
honest,
of bear.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's either Mikhail or a stone golem, yeah.
All right, you mountainous fuckhead, let's go. I follow the footprints.
They lead you to, the outside entrance to the tower.
Is the door open?
Yeah. It leads you into the tower like you were in before, and you can see towering up the wooden steps.
I step into the tower, and I'm calling out for Mikhail. Big guy, you up here?
No response. Just silence and the creaking and settling of the tower.
Your Majesty, I just call to the space. I'm going to the cemetery, but I need to find my friend first. Big guy, Russian. Have you seen him?
There's like a long pause, and then...
Mon épée en gloire.
My sword and acorn.
Yeah, I understand. Your sword, your acorn, cemetery. All right, I go up the stairs.
As you step onto the first step, it like crushes under your foot. And you're like, oh, okay, I need to be a little bit more careful.
Okay, yeah, right.
And gingerly, delicately, you also make your way up the tower and you reach that trap door.
I push.
You push it open and you pop your head into a kind of top room for the tower with rotted wooden floorboards around you. And there's maybe some like old barrels up here and maybe like just storage equipment. It looks dusty, and as you open it up, like, maybe you get hit with a big mouthful of dust as you disturb the thick layer that is, accumulated up here.
No sign of Mikhail.
Nothing. It's completely empty.
Is there anything in the room at all?
There's, like, again, some barrels, maybe some old wooden chests, but otherwise, not really.
I see if I can open one of the chests.
Yeah, mostly you open the chest, and it's like, more... debris and dust. Maybe it's like old documents, but at this point it's just effectively like tatters of paper that crumble when you touch them.
Where are you?
You crack open the barrel, there's nothing inside.
Alright, I go back down the tower.
You descend the steps of the tower and you're standing on the floor of it again.
Is there anywhere else in the house that I can explore that we haven't been to?
You did a pretty thorough check of certainly the bottom floor, but the top floor is almost impossible to get to because the staircase is largely destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
You think it's unlikely, but I mean, it's not impossible that he's on the top floor. But you can also reason at this point that he should have been able to hear you at some point. You know what I mean?
Would I have enough detail and knowledge of the last few events, Mikhail seeing bird children being lured to the chateau, to possibly assume that the same thing has happened to him again?
I think that's valid. Yeah, I think that's a fair enough assumption to make.
Huh. Well then, this is a predicament. I just do one last check of the house, calling out again.
Nothing. Maybe you even go outside, you walk around it, you see like a massively overgrown garden with like a nice like pond in it, which at this point is just like completely dry. You pass a well, you pass like maybe even like a little abandoned wooden sort of pagoda style thing out the back. There's just nothing. There's just nothing but the warm sunshine and the empty countryside for miles around you.
All right. I take out I have a pocket watch.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I wind 2 hours for, like, an alarm. I get in the car and I drive back to town heading for the cemetery.
Do you have the keys?
I can hotwire your car, Adam. Don't be stupid.
Maybe you pull out, like, I don't know, you...
Do you want me to tell you what I do?
Yeah, yeah, please, please. Hey, if you know what you're doing, please do tell me.
Okay, so I open up the console of the car where the two wires are. I can't really get anything going with that. So I take out my lighter and just light one of the ends on fire and then put them together, and it works.
You do some MacGyver-ass soldering.
Yeah.
And with a... the tiny little car has, kicked into gear.
I'll come back for you, big guy. I've given myself 2 hours. I figured that's a decent enough time for you not to have died in mysterious circumstances in some other dimension.
Where are you heading?
I'm heading to the cemetery, back in town.
You get in the car and you drive back to Montpellier. In the ghost chateau, you sit there drinking your brandy. You finish. It goes down as smooth as could be. But you still feel cold and slightly damp.
I get a little closer. Is there a fireplace that is lit here?
Yeah, there's a roaring, warm fireplace in here.
I'm going to get a little closer to it.
It doesn't really warm you up at all.
The brandy, has that made me feel any warmer?
Not really either, no. It's been delicious and tasty, but it's not given you really much... Oh, no, it's probably given you internal warmth, but your outside still feels quite cold and damp.
I'm going to go looking for someone I can talk to. So I'm just looking for the next human being I see.
You leave this room and back into that hallway, and you continue walking. Maybe you open up doors as you go. Maybe you go up one end of the hall and you look in a couple of storerooms. You don't see anybody. So you turn around, start heading in the other direction, and you walk past a door that somehow just didn't register to you the first time. This door appears, it's like maybe at the end of the hallway, and whereas the others are these kind of like warm, inviting, like handsome oak doors, this one is in less good condition, let's say. It seems like it's less taken care of or given less importance. Nobody's maintaining this door. The paint is peeling. And it's at the end of this corridor before so you can turn left back into the sunroom, or ahead is this other strange door.
Well, I'll check that door if I haven't yet.
You put your hand on the doorknob and instantly... Has Mikhail ever done drugs in his life?
Probably as part of like a CIA... as part of like an interrogation resistance thing, maybe?
Not in a fun way, in a serious...
You recognize the feeling of your body being flooded by narcotics. And instantly, you feel warm again. You feel good. And you no longer really want to put your hand on this door and go in here. You just feel incredible and definitely drugged. You step back into the sunroom, and those two girls are gone, but there's, I'll say, like, maybe a little boy there playing with some wooden soldiers.
I want to walk over to the little boy. As I walk, I say, "Do you speak English or Russian?"
He turns around and he says, in a kind of broken and, to use slightly archaic, form of Russian, he responds, I speak a little bit, but he definitely still has like a, it's like a French broken archaic.
I'm no longer
Russian,
cold,
yeah.
Am I?
No.
No. Okay. Oh, but do I still, when that rush returned, did I lose that ability to like ask a question?
You do feel reluctant to ask a question. You feel like it's probably not as important. But the kid does start speaking to you because he realizes that he can communicate. I speak a little bit. It is exciting, he says, when you walk into the room and as you see.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Start talking. He like maybe he pats the chair next to him. He's a kid of about maybe 7.
I give him a big smile and I sit down on the chair that he pats. What is exciting?
We are allowed to stay up a little bit longer. Normally by now we would be asleep, but for some reason.
I put my finger to my mouth and I do like a shh. It is best not to tell anyone when you are getting away with something.
We are all waiting for the dinner bell because that means we will have to go back to sleep again, and we do not want to. But it has not gone yet for some reason.
You suddenly feel that cold return to you. This is suspicious. This seems definitely untoward, and all of a sudden you feel like whatever barrier that was has dissipated. And you can, that little bit of you that is contained within you is breaking out.
Who is in charge here?
That would be her ladyship, he says.
Her ladyship.
Oui.
With the
da,
white...
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
With the come white hair?
He stops and he kind of like looks to the sky a little bit. Oui, she has white hair. I wonder if it is because of you. Everyone is saying that there is a grown-up here in the chateau. That has not happened before. Normally we would be asleep, but we are awake and we can continue to play. Would you like to play soldiers with me? He has like two little wooden soldiers that he's playing with. He takes one and he hands it to you.
I take it and I say, when I look at the soldier, what period is this soldier from?
This looks like it could be from around like late 17th century.
What is this soldier's name?
His name is Anuksa.
Anuksa. Is that a French name?
No, it's a Prussian name.
Where are you from, little boy? This is not a French name.
I came... He stops and he, like, furrows his brow. I don't know, he says, and he shrugs. Do you want to play soldiers with me?
Da. We will play soldiers.
You're delving deeper, and again, that him saying that he doesn't know, you can see something crosses his face. You imagine that this child is feeling the same rush that you felt earlier, that same injection of a kind of pleasantness, that injection of pleasure, and that throws you again.
Wait, do I feel it, or do I see it happening to him?
You see it happen to the kid.
Okay.
And that throws you again, and now you feel a sharp, stinging pain in the front of your neck, accompanying the coldness and the darkness and
the
wetness.
In the front of my neck?
Yeah, like here under your Adam's apple.
Oh, where my Adam... All right, cool.
Yeah.
Is it preventing me from speaking or anything?
No, in fact, no. It's you feel freer. You feel like you could maybe start to like physically, like affect this air. Like you think right now, if you wanted to, you could pick this kid up and throw them. Whereas previously, you don't think that would have been something that your body would have let you do. The pain is not like massive. It's not like you want to grab at your throat, clutching it.
Yeah,
it feels more like a really like a bee sting kind of. You know, it's just painful, like very sharp, but not debilitating.
What is your name, little boy?
He furrows his brow again. He looks down at the doll. Anuksa? He says, but there's like a question to it.
Anuksa, you and I and our little soldiers are on a very secret mission.
Okay. He leans in closer.
We must get behind enemy lines. I know the way, and you must follow me very carefully.
He nods.
And we must be careful, because if her ladyship catches us, we will have to return to our front lines, and the mission will fail.
Okay. But we are not... if we are going to play, we are not allowed in the basement or the tower. Okay? I do not want to get in trouble.
But Anuksa, that is behind enemy lines.
The kid furrows his brow. I will come with you for anything, but I do not want to go into the basement or the tower. But anything else, of course.
Then, if you refuse to follow me, you can be a lookout.
He nods. Okay, I will be the best lookout there is.
I want to take him back to that door that I couldn't get. Do I have memory of that door?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's very much like being hypnotized. Like, you know the door's there, but you're like, previously, you're like, oh, I just don't want to go in there. I'm good.
Okay.
But now you're like, well, maybe I do. Yeah.
I want to return to the door, and I gesture to it, and I say, is that where the basement is?
He looks like, kind of like a not ashamed, but like a bit shy now. That is the door to the basement.
I look around. Is there any, like, furniture or anything here?
In the hallway, there's probably, like, some side tables that might have, like, a plant on it or, like, a, you know,
that's
that
perfect.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
I gesture to one of the side tables, and I say, then I say so, you must be the distraction. You will have to knock that over when I say.
Okay, he says. He goes over and he, like, grabs the leg of it.
Are you ready?
He nods.
3, 2, 1. I charge at the door. My intention is, if it hits me again, to already have enough momentum to just slam into it.
That's great. All right. Three things happen in quick succession. Again, you slam into this door and it doesn't like explode. It's not like you break the door, but if it was locked previously, it no longer is, as it swings open and you, with like almost too much momentum, start falling downstairs.
That's okay. I'm in. Part one is accomplished.
I'll get you to take 2 bashing for just tumbling down these stairs.
Sure.
And at the same time, you feel that rush once again flow through your veins, like right through your system, and you feel good. But you don't feel like, it's not like you've been brought all the way back up to the like the hazy state that you were in the first time you entered the chateau. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're cold again. You can no longer feel that pain at the base of your Adam's apple. And you're still a bit hazy, and you still feel like you could ask questions, but you don't think that you could pick up the kid and throw him again. At the same time, that table behind you smashes shut as the door swings closed.
Okay.
You're in pretty much pitch blackness right now.
That's bad, Adam.
You drive back into town, Ike, into Nanterre, and you pass through the town, you probably pass the Chartreuse on your way toward the cemetery. You pull up at the front. You've not been to the cemetery yet. You might have seen it as you were exploring and questioning people, but you've not really like properly approached it and investigated it. It's quite big. It probably takes up about an acre of land. You think that this might feasibly contain all of the dead of Nanterre for centuries.
Yep.
The town is old enough and there are no other cemeteries anywhere. So you have to imagine this is it. In the center of the cemetery, or not maybe actually closer to the front, there is a sort of newish looking church. And you can see that the graves and the tombstones toward the front of the cemetery appear to be newer, but you can kind of see as it gets older as it goes back.
Wonderful. I open the boot of the car by opening it up from the inside, because there's no way I can open it. I'd have to pick the lock, and that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, that's fair. You open it from the inside, yeah, no worries.
Is there a shovel?
No shovel.
What is in there? Crowbar? Anything cool?
There'd probably be, like, mechanic automotive tools. There's a rifle, silver, cold iron, probably a rolled-up set of lockpicks, talcum powder.
I take the lockpicks.
Oh, yeah. Take the lockpicks.
And the mechanics tools.
Mm-hmm.
Any salt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, actually, salt was the only one I didn't take because I assumed I'd just be able to acquire it.
Now, that's cool. That's cool. I close the boot, I check the stopwatch, and I head to the deepest part of the oldest part of the cemetery, and I'm looking for an acorn symbol, a small dog symbol, some kind of heraldry, anything like that.
It's probably quite late to this point. We're not, like, approaching midnight, but it's dark. Basically, you're probably talking like 6 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah,
it's dark, or maybe it's the kind of dark where the sky is still red, but there's a sort of darkness that is descending. You know, that on the horizon, you can see that red sunset through the clouds, but otherwise, there's just sort of a darkness. And as you walk through the cemetery, you're the only person here. I'll get your wits investigation, but I'll give you a bonus because you know exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, I've got my torch too, still the cool torch that I held with my gun.
You, maybe, like, as you bring your torch out and swing it, because you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 successes.
Oh, Jesus.
As you bring your torch out and swing it, immediately, like, maybe even the moment you flick it on, it illuminates on the other side of the cemetery, where the back half of the cemetery kind of approaches the beginning of, like, a small wood, and where the graves are kind of amongst the trees, you can see an acorn, and inside, so it's like on top of a headstone, there is an acorn. And within that acorn, there is a small dog ensconced within it. This grave as well, you can see as you, like, shine your torch onto it as you approach it, is the... what do you call it? Where it's, like, there's the stone top to the grave? Like, you don't think it's, like... It's not underground. Yeah. It's, like, a proper...
Yeah, it's, like a slab of stone, like a mausoleum type thing.
Just stop them from coming back as a vampire.
Yeah.
You don't want that. So you pretty much immediately clock that and walk over toward it.
I go over. Does it look... Is there any names, anything written on... Can I read anything?
The tombstone itself is worn almost smooth. You can see there's nothing written on it, or if there was something written on it, like, it is illegible now. Maybe if you, like, ran your fingers along the stone, you would be able to feel divots where once there was text. But at this point, yeah, it's worn away. And even the dog and the acorn are fairly worn and warped at this point. It's also massively overgrown. You're, like, amongst big trees at this point.
Can the acorn and the dog be removed from the... Like, do they look like
I think they could be snapped off.
Okay.
But probably not removed.
No, so it's not like they're, like, a separate component that I could take off. All right. My dog, my acorn, cemetery, we're going underground to find my sword and acorn. I look at the slab. Does it... What are we looking at here?
So the slab, if you, like, give it a jiggle, like I said, it's pretty overgrown, and this tomb itself, this grave itself, appears largely neglected. A lot of the graves in this part of the cemetery do. So you think with enough leverage, you could probably start to shift it, but it does look very heavy.
Before I do that, what grave is immediately beside it?
You probably can't read that either. It just looks like a regular tomb.
No acorn or dog symbol on the grave next to it? On either side?
No.
Is this the only grave with the... Cool. Because I was going to say, like, the wife, is she buried here? Mm. But...
You can search if you want. You could make an investigation with...
Yeah, I'll have a quick little look around.
You search, like, in this area where it's amongst these really tall trees and quite overgrown, and you find, like, some interesting... You find maybe, like, a tomb with, like, a massive kind of dilapidated angel statue. You find some that have saints or whatever depicted. But you don't find any more acorns or any more little dogs or even any muslin or anything like that, yeah.
Any foxes?
How would you depict muslin cloth in...
I don't know. No foxes. And you remember that the tale about Jacques Zicade in the cemetery is that he's here between midnight and 1, and it's probably only like 6:30 p.m. You think your odds of encountering him here now at least according to the folk story, are pretty low.
Yeah. Can the tools I've got, are they up to the task at all to help me? There's no crowbar, is there? That's what I need.
You kind of need a crowbar or like a bit of metal or something that you can use to kind of worm your way in and start shifting the top of the grave.
Tool shed back at the Shorter Roos. I set myself 2 hours. I look at the stopwatch and my desire to save Mikhail is overcome by my ambition to succeed. And I just add like 5 hours to the timer. He's a big guy.
He'll be right.
Piece of shit.
Midnight and one. Hey, Jax the Cat's going to help me do this. But also sure. I need a crowbar. I get back in the car and drive back to the hotel.
You drive back through the night to the Chartreuse. And when you walk inside, immediately Amori is there. There's a phone call for you, she says.
Oh, thank you. Amori, do you have a crowbar or something?
Oui, there would be a crowbar in this shed out the back.
Oh, bless your kind and beautiful face, Amori.
But she points, like, the phone is off the hook, as though someone is on the other end.
All right,
But would you like me to tell him to call you back?
No, I'll... Is it the father? Is it Father Ford?
Oui,
an American man. Yes, great. I'll talk to him. Can you get me the crowbar?
Of course.
And any salt you have in the building.
She, like, gives you, like, a strange look, but... Yeah, of course.
I fire a wink.
She blushes again and scuttles out the back to get the crowbar.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.